Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day! Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
I was like, give me one more country. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here all by herself this evening. I know the boss man and Dustin the Great are both stuck in traffic. There's a little bit of a disaster out there on Monument Road. But they will be joining us here. And why are they late? Because we happen to be live from Best Bet Jacksonville. So we're here at 201 Monument Road. Lots of people in the card room. The card room is jamming. And everybody's getting ready for the 1010XL main event tournament, which is kicking off here. In fact, should have started just a few minutes ago. And it looks like we have... That can't possibly be the correct clock, so I will have to find out. But let's see how many people are registered. There it is, 131 players registered so far. And we're going to have a great tournament. So five bounties tonight, $110 to get in. Knock any of those five bounties out, and you get your $110 back on the spot. So the bounties tonight look like myself, Scobie, Denny, and Hayes. Denny Thompson and... Matt Hayes. So
that's only four.
Who did I miss? Did I say Prosser? Myself, Prosser, Matt Hayes, Scobie, and
Denny Thompson.
I did say five? That was all five. Yeah.
All right. Well, I missed
you're
one.
Confusing me here. Coming in here all confused.
So I'm coming in hot.
Coming in hot and confusing me.
But traffic's pretty bad out there. I'll say that. Ooh.
It is. It's tough. So it's going to be a great tournament. We are looking to crush the last highest number that we had, which was 375 players. At 375 players, we would like to see it get to 425. In fact, if we can get 425 players, we've decided that on next week's final Best Bet show that we're going to give away $2,900 in an hour on the show. So that means
worth of tournament seats, right?
Right. So we got three tournaments that are happening. It's the knockout series coming up in November. It goes from the 12th to the 14th. There are three events. There's a $300 event called the Jab. There's the $600 event called the uppercut. And then the Haymaker is the $2,000 event. So what we're going to do is we're going to give away a seat into each one of those tournaments.
I'm demonstrating all those things, but we don't have our Twitch stream going yet.
This is unbelievable. That was a pretty good. Yeah, that was a good demonstration.
Good demonstration, though, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like I don't know if I want you in my corner boxing or not based on.
Probably not.
No, I'll take you. I'll take you in my corner. Anyway, so next week, if we get over 425 players, which is what we're expecting in tonight's event, then we're going to give away a seat into all three of those tournaments, which are coming up in November. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Also, as we kind of wind down the show, we have tonight's show. And then next week is our final show. We're going to bring back the entire team, or that is our plan. So we should have Friday Night Allen. We're going to have Johnny Fantastic. Everybody's going to come into the studio as we give our lovely farewells and bid you a farewell.
Bid you adieu.
But we're going to talk about some of our favorite moments, favorite guests, some of the funniest things that happened, things that people have completely forgotten about as we talk about the show that's been on the air for about 13 years. Just over 13 years. So we're looking forward to that. So if you guys are in the area or you feel like playing some poker tonight, it is Jacksonville is the place to be. Again, $110. We'll get you into this tournament. Starts at 6. Registration is open until around 8:15-ish.
Yeah, 8:10.
About 8:10. All right, so the boss man's got all of that. Listen, when we were on air last week, we were having a conversation talking about WSOP winners, people who are picking up bracelets, and two people's names as we discussed bracelets that were the highlight was Anthony Zeno and Phil Hellmuth. Anthony Zeno is the one, right?
He won
takes
an event.
Home the bracelet, knocks out Helmuth. Helmuth threw that huge conniption fit, if you recall. It was very controversial.
We'll call it a temper tantrum. Conniption fit, temper tantrum. I don't know. It's hard to say what that is, really.
It's inappropriate behavior by an adult who is an ambassador of the game. That is what it is.
It's a pathetic display by anybody.
It's a pathetic
display.
Truly
pathetic.
That was last week, right? So now we fast forward into this week, and guess what? Zeno locks up another bracelet.
Ship it. Zeno wins
Super
again.
Super excited for him. So he picks
That's
up
the good
his
news.
Fourth bracelet. He is the 55th player to win at least two in a single series right now. So
it happens every year, by the way.
It's funny that that happens every
year. Every single year, no matter what, somebody wins two bracelets.
Well, he won a bracelet for the $1,500 horse event. So that's generally your event.
That's my event. That's my bracelet he won.
We should probably call him up and tell him he needs to go ahead and package up that bracelet and send it to you.
I'm going to call him right now as soon as we go on break.
I think it's a good idea. And, of course, the man who gets the least amount of respect from me, Phil Helmuth, who picks up his 16th bracelet. He also won a bracelet in this past week. So while I despise him and don't like the way he behaves around the table and think he's terrible ambassador for the game, we do have to give him a shout out and say congratulations for picking up that bracelet. It's no easy feat, regardless of who you are or what event you're playing.
And that's true. And he has had a phenomenal series so far, making four final tables, I think, with a win. And that in itself is pretty impressive for anybody, but it's not like after his little tantrum last week, I don't think anybody's rooting for him at this point, are they?
I mean, listen.
Not right.
Helmuth's been behaving this way his
entire
life. He has.
I mean, it's not like this is anything new, but still.
He's been behaving this way his entire life, and he still somehow has a following of people. Here's my question to you. He's behaved so poorly and so ridiculous and drawn so much negative attention to himself. The main event, right, every year he does this grand entry, if you will. There's a few players, they come in and they do this massive entry. They want to put it on social media, TikTok. They use
display.
It for media, whatever it is, whatever it looks like. And he always comes in and does something completely over the top and ridiculous. So I'm wondering, is he going to let that go this year? Or is he going to come in and just scream and holler and be a spectacle the way that he was last week? I feel like that's how he should enter as his true self.
Yeah, Phil, enter as your true self.
I feel like he's already said
wearing a diaper.
Like
he needs to wear a diaper, have a pacifier in his mouth.
Yeah, and come in screaming obscenities at people who aren't even listening.
I love it. I think this is a perfect idea. But it will be interesting to see if he carries on that tradition now that he's kind of had some negative publicity during the series. He always does, but this was a little bit worse than anything that's ever happened before.
I mean, it's a joke.
Also, shout out to Chance Cornuth, local Floridian. He picks up a bracelet. This is his third WSOP bracelet, 35 years old. He beat out a field of 66 entries in the 10K short deck event. Now, his wife, Emily, I thought was very funny. I don't know exactly what her tweet said verbatim, but I did read a tweet that she wrote out, and it said something along the effects of, she said, I will never again, she apologized. She said, first, I'd like to apologize to my husband, and I will never again tell him that he is not allowed to learn how to play an event on YouTube and then enter a bracelet event.
right. So apparently he watched some YouTube videos on how to play short deck the day before.
Learn how to play short deck the day before and then crushes it in a 10K event. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, he is a great player, and he is a great all-around poker player. And the interesting thing about short deck is it definitely favors aggression a lot.
Yes.
And he's an aggressive player, and he plays a lot of PLO, which favors aggression. So I think the concepts are not necessarily new to him, so he took advantage of that. And great job, Chance.
Yeah, and of course, with the World Series of Poker, we know that we've been waiting for the Poker Hall of Fame finalists to be announced. Last week we were waiting, and this week, here we go. You ready? We have 10 people who have been announced. Eli Elezra, Antonio Esfandiari, Chris Ferguson, Lane Flack, Ted Forrest, Bertrand Grossfeller, who is Elkie, Mike Matiso, Mike Mizrahi, Matt Savage, and Izai Scheinberg, I believe is how you say that.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. Out of the 10 candidates, there are three that are first-timers that have ever been nominated.
How many first-timers?
Three.
Three first-timers?
Yep. Three of the 10 candidates are first-timers. Lane Flack, who passed away earlier this year.
Elkie, cool to see Lane Flack on there.
Elkie and Michael Mizrahi. And he's also a local Floridian, right? Don't the Mizrahi brothers live in South Florida?
Yeah. And it's cool to see Elkie and the grinder Mizrahi on there as well. It'll be interesting to see. Are they picking two, did they say?
They're picking two, yes.
Who are we picking? Are we picking any of these two?
You know, that's a good question. If you had to pick, I feel like it's tough, though, because it's...
I don't think it's tough at all.
You don't?
No.
I feel like a lot of people thought that Matt Savage was going to be in there several years in a row.
I agree, yeah. It's not tough for me to pick two out of this list.
Savage is definitely in the top two.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, the ones that you would pick are the one that you think are actually going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
That's tough for me.
I would say both. The ones I would pick and the ones that I think should get inducted this year. That doesn't mean it's not. I'm not selling anything short of the other guys.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think Eli Elezra definitely deserves to be in there. Maybe not this year just because of the other people that are on there.
And I think Eli Elezra has a long career ahead of him.
Yeah.
He can still do a lot of stuff.
Same with Esfandiari. Agreed. I wouldn't put Ferguson in there just out of principle. I don't think he deserves it. Lane Flack, yeah, maybe not this year, although it would be cool. Ted Forrest, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Ted Forrest. He's been around and played, and he's still around playing. Elkie, absolutely, maybe not this year. Matisau, probably right behind Ted Forrest. Mizrahi,
it's kind of like picking the player of the year in football or something, right? Like who's going to get
tough.
The Heisman
yeah,
trophy.
Right.
It's very
tough.
Similar.
So I think they're all deserving other than, I mean, I wouldn't give it to Chris Ferguson. And I don't know about the Poker Stars guy.
The Scheinberg guy? All right, well, here's what we're going
to
do.
But I would give it to Matt Savage and Ted Forrest. That's my pick.
There are 10 finalists. And out of those finalists, of course, they are going to take the remaining living members of the Hall of Fame. They will vote and induct two people. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to know which two people you guys think, which two people you would choose or which two people you would vote for, and then which two people do you think will actually be inducted. That and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and we are bringing in a very special guest, one of the Devil Twins.
That's right.
As known
on the drill.
As known on the drill, Reggie Exum, who is joining us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
He is a tennis master, tennis pro, becoming a poker pro, poker master.
Fingers crossed.
And he's here to show us his skills on the felt tonight. So before we dive into too much about what your strategy is going to be tonight and how you're planning to lose all your chips to me, we have to finish talking about the Poker Hall of Fame. So, guys, what do you think? Like, who do you think is actually going to win, and who would you have voted for?
Well, I think I gave my picks were Matt Savage.
Okay.
I think it's about time. And Ted Forrest has been on there for a long time. I think we need to get him in the Hall of Fame to get him off the list.
Just to get him off the list.
So he stops coming up every year.
So he stops coming up. But here's the problem. You know,
we need to push him off.
If you're on the list for so long and there's so many other people coming up,
right,
you're going to get pushed down and he's never going to make it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, and
so we need to get Savage and Ted Forrest in there quick. But, you know, otherwise, I don't know, give it to Lane Flack.
And the criteria, don't forget, is a player must have played poker against acknowledged top competition, be a minimum of 40 years old at the time of nomination, played for high stakes, played consistently well, gaining the respect of peers, stood the test of time. Right? If you're 40 and you're still playing poker, I feel like you've stood the test of time.
That's right.
Or for non-players, which I also think is great because, of course, you don't want it to just be the case that only players can be inducted into the Poker Hall of Fame.
Right, you have to have industry people.
You have to have industry people because without the industry people, then there are no players, right?
They're the backbone.
That's exactly right. And so for non-players, contributed to the overall growth of the game of poker with undeniable, positive, and lasting results. There are 32 members living currently in the Poker Hall of Fame. And with the finalists that we have now, they will be the 60th to be inducted.
Wow.
The official announcement will come out Wednesday, November 17th, during the very new WSOP Hall of Fame Bounty Tournament, which I feel like that's going to be fun. How cool is that, right?
Into it.
Yeah, I'm into it. I would like it. All right, so you think Ted Forrest and Matt Savage. What do you think?
For me, it's Matt Savage, obviously, for what he's done in the industry. And also because he was in Lucky You.
And because we love that, right?
Yeah, because he was in Lucky You.
He's in a poker movie.
He's in a poker movie. That alone should get you in the Hall of Fame.
You know the funny story about Lucky You with me?
I think I've heard it.
I
was cast to be in the show, and my children were young at the time, and I was sleep deprived, and somehow I slept through my alarm, and I didn't make it to set on time.
You could have been in the Poker Hall of Fame. You would have had my vote. That's a big deciding factor as to whether or not you should be in the Hall of Fame.
I show up, right? I'm cast for this role in Lucky You, and I show up, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm late, and I just stroll in like the queen that I am, and I'm like, yes, I'm here dressing, makeup, show me, where do I go? They're like, yeah, you're late, not happening.
We
already shot that scene, but they were like, why don't you hang out, and you could, you know. And so I got to hang out with them for a couple days and watch them shoot the entire film, which honestly, for me, was way cooler
to
be behind the scenes and see everything that they were doing and not just be a part of a small piece of the film, but really get to see so much of what happened and put all of that together. So it was really cool. So Matt Savage and...
For me, it's Elky.
Elky's my choice also.
Yeah, I just think he was one of the first guys to kind of blend gaming and poker. I think he really brought online poker to the forefront for a lot of people.
Yep.
And not only that, but he survived the live streets as well. He not only was an online crusher, but he was a live poker crusher as well, and he still plays to this day.
And
so,
if you want to see somebody dominate a final table,
absolutely,
go to the WPT that Elky wins.
Yep.
It's almost a joke. He just literally, he was like putting his arms up like, are you guys even going to try?
Are you even going to try? He's also a big part of the reason that I got into poker as a crossover from gaming into poker. He's just, for me, it's Elky and Matt Savage.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Elky and Savage, I think those are my two picks. We're going to go with those guys.
No, sorry, Ted.
Who's the one
sorry,
guy?
Sorry, Ted.
Sorry, Ted. Ted, you're out. Who's the one guy that's on this list that you guys think should never be on here, and how does he keep popping up?
That's easy.
It's easy.
It's got to be Chris Ferguson.
Yeah, Chris Ferguson.
Yeah. So here's my question. Out of the criteria that I read to you in order to be nominated, right, he played consistently well, gaining the respect of peers. No.
No. Yeah, how is,
not
he,
even close.
How is he even on the list?
Not
even stood
close.
The test of time, no, right? He's not a non-player, so that he doesn't qualify under that.
He didn't play for like 10 years, right? He didn't play for like 8 years or something.
Well, that's because he was like blacklisted.
Yeah,
if he showed up, well, he probably would have lost a limb.
He was just MIA. He didn't show up for like 8 years after Black Friday. He didn't play a WSOP.
And then he just started sneaking in to test the waters, and nobody banished him or kicked him out, so he just kept coming.
I agree.
It's just unbelievable.
Now we're stuck with him.
Well, we need to get him off that list. And don't do that by nominating him, please. Let's just remove him from the list.
I'm going to take him off the list right now. Watch
scratch
this.
Him right off
Watch
there, boss man. Make it happen.
He gone.
Off the list.
All right, as we've mentioned, we are here at Best Bet Jacksonville. We got the 1010XL main event, which is underway. What does that say, boss? 174 players?
That's it.
174 players right now. Registration is open until 8:10.
With a line.
We got five bounties. Yeah, there is a line at the cage. We have five bounties. You knock any of those bounties out, you get $110 back on the spot, plus plenty of bragging rights. So we have Reggie in front of us, one of the Devil Twins.
That's
and
right.
I say one of the Devil Twins because his brother Roger, who is more of a devil. I feel like really he just has horns, and you have horns that hold your halo up.
Correct. Good cop, right? Bad cop kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way that it goes. So this is your – which number 1010 event is this that you played?
Second. This is my second event.
Your second one. How did you do in the first one?
I think 95th, 96th, I think it was. So okay. Just outside the money.
Just outside the money. All right. And what's your strategy going in today?
Probably pretty conservative. I say not that I play too much poker, but uh-huh. Don't go full tilt, but try to hang in there, go in with some good cards, you know, high percentage. But again, that's a learning experience for me again as well, because I haven't done this too much. It's great because it's very competitive, just like tennis is, that I've played my whole life. So, but it's just in a different way. So I find it very intriguing where you can go in with the right hand, the right numbers, and still lose. So I think that part of it is what is tough for me to get past. In tennis, you could play bad for a set and a half. You could still come back, you know, after, you know, an hour and a half of bad play. Here, if you go all in, you're out, you're done. You know, there's no way of coming back. So I think that makes me a conservative player, because I'm like, okay, unless it's a sure bet, and there never is, you know. And I think that's what is hard for me to learn, you know, when it comes to poker. But it's very exciting.
So you're an athlete. I mean, you're a professional tennis player. Mm-hmm. You are excellent at golf, mm-hmm. and you are average at fantasy football.
That would make you below average, though, then, Allie. So.
And I only say average because, you know, you're just average. I mean, just because you keep winning all these games, we happen to be on the same league. I feel like you're cheating or something's going on over there.
Just because I'm first place, that's all right.
Yeah.
So
do you use any of the skills, like when you're setting your fantasy football lineup and when you're preparing for sectionals that I know you're going to be heading off to with your team here out of Jacksonville? So congratulations
on that.
And when you're playing golf, do you use any of the same thought process to prepare for a poker tournament?
Yeah, I think you try to be in the right mind, not too high, not too low. And you know things are going to happen that are beyond your control, whether it's a let court or a miss shot, you know, bad cards or a bad beat. So I think you can't get too high or too low when that happens. I know in tennis, if you have a couple of bad shots and you're like, well, let me just try to get through this next game and blast some forehands down the line, and then it might work, but most of the time it won't, and you'll just lose from there. So I think just trying to keep it nice and even keel. I had a buddy of mine who used to play professional golf, got on the minor tours a little bit, and so he was a perfectionist. And I was like, you know, how do you make it through a round of golf without going absolutely insane when you miss some shots? And he says on his scorecard he would put 7 marks, and he knows he's going to have 7 bad shots in the whole round. And so every time he would have one bad shot, instead of going bananas or going crazy, he would circle one of his marks. So that kept him a little bit more mellow and just trying to even keel. So that way he knew he's going to have at least 7 bad shots, and that got him through the round and not just going full tilt. So I thought I used that kind of strategy.
I like
that's a great idea. I have to add a 1
in front of the 7s. Yeah.
So I get 17.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. So.
That's fair.
But I thought that was a really good strategy. Tennis could be the same way. You know, things are happening, and you know it's not going to be perfect, but as long as you're better than the other person, whether it's, you know, 51% to 49%, that's all you need. So, but I thought, and this is probably 20 years ago, and I still use that, you know, for most sports that I play.
I love that. I feel like we need to implement this, the bad shot. Mm-hmm. The bad stroke. We need it. This needs to be a poker thing. I'm gonna create some cards, and it's gonna be like, how many bluffs can I get through? And like, when I don't get the first one through, I'm gonna scratch it off and remember, okay, I didn't get this one through. I'm not gonna go on tilt yet. But what happens when you run out of all those? Then do you go on tilt?
Absolutely, you do. Yeah.
Then you just go totally crazy.
Doesn't matter.
But you know, there is a lot of similarities. What Reggie said. You know, you got to get it out of your system. In tennis, you just smash it down the line a couple times. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But you get it out of your system. Uh-huh. In poker, you do the same thing. You just go on
a crazy
bluff. You just say whatever, and you stuff it all in. Mm-hmm. You get through, okay, you're better. Sometimes it doesn't work.
and it doesn't get through.
But that's the thing with poker, though, is then you're done. You know, in tennis, could be the end of a first set.
Right.
You blast a couple forehands. All right, we still got the next set coming up. So I think that, to me, well, golf's more like poker. If you triple bogey, you know, a hole or two, your round's done, you know. So sure. I think golf's more like that. But I think that's what the difference is, that I still have trouble trying to play not as conservative, not as tight, and try to play a little looser. So
right.
I'm learning, though.
And the biggest difference between poker and either of those two sports, which is kind of interesting, is why so many people do like to play poker, mm-hmm. is because you could beat me at poker.
Yeah.
You know, not every time.
But that one time.
Maybe one time.
Yeah.
But I could never beat you at tennis.
Yeah, that is the difference. Right, exactly. And right. so I think that's what is the pull for poker. It's like I can go in and beat everybody, you know,
that's right.
at least one time. If you get the right cards, the right whatever. And so I think that is a great feature of it, that you can get in.
Sure.
You can still learn the game. You can always learn for, you know, the next 20, mm-hmm. 30 years. But that's what makes it always so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So we're going to – do you have your ticket yet? That's the first question.
I've got to go get that.
I feel like, should we put a bounty on you just to make it even more
no,
fun?
No, everyone will call me then every
like
single
it.
Time. No.
I like it. You just have to have it.
Yeah.
You just got to have it every
single
time. Yeah,
make it, really. Make it work to your advantage.
That's right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, can you, it's like the trick shots in tennis, you know,
right.
where you see some guy where it looks like he's going to tee up and like smash an overhead.
And then the little dropper.
And then he like dinks it.
That's
like,
right.
Over the net. Or, you know, the guy who's
those
cheating and hits
the
ball
best.
And makes, you know, it's not really out, but he can't get to it. So he makes it look mm-hmm. like it's going to bounce
that's
out.
Right.
Can you do any of those things in poker? I mean, how does that work? It doesn't, right?
They get you blacklisted right away.
Not really.
Exactly.
Not really. You can't get away with that.
Yeah. Not without being an angler.
There's no trick. I mean, I guess there are trick plays, right?
Yeah.
Squeeze plays, that's a trick play.
The check raise.
Yeah.
There are trick plays, right. The check raise, the, you know, the slow play, the, you know, just sit there and look uninterested and check it all the way through and then mm-hmm. let two guys battle it out. And then all of a sudden, who's this third guy? Oh, wait, I call.
Yeah, the squeeze is a good one.
The strategy is amazing that's involved. And it's funny, in tennis you think you're going to get your heart racing and get all this energy. And poker's even worse than tennis for me. And mm-hmm. you're sitting at the table and your heart rate's going way up. And you're like, mm-hmm. you can't act like it's no big deal. And you're holding, you know, two kings. Yeah. And it's amazing the adrenaline rush you get and you're sitting at a poker table compared to just running around outside. It's,
right.
It's
and it is weird because when you're running outside, you can let it loose.
You can exert that energy.
You can let it loose. Yeah. But when you're sitting at the poker table, you're holding it all in. You feel it in your body.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that no one at your table can see that, and you have to be able to, you know, bluff that away.
You're sick, profusely sweating.
Oh,
I'm just fine over here. Nothing is wrong with
you. Don't look at me. Go to the next person.
Your neck is thumping.
Yeah, exactly.
Face is sweating.
I love it. But, you know, one of the things that is nice, and I will hear some of my tips to you as this being your second tournament, because I know you're not a big tournament guy, but survival is a huge piece, and it's one of the same things that we would apply on the tennis court, right? Like, you can come out strong, and that's great, but you have to stay strong, right? Because the only thing that matters in poker is the only time you have to win all of the chips is the very last hand.
Right.
Other than that, you don't need to win them all. You can win a little bit at a time. You
just
can lose
hang out.
A little bit. You can win a little bit, lose a bit. But it's about survival, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that on the tennis court, it's kind of the same thing. You have to be able to survive.
Right. And win the last point. That's all you need to
that's
do.
That's it. Win the last point.
Last point.
That mental endurance, too, right? Like not letting your opponents get under your skin. Not letting the guy who's at the table who's doing something ridiculous that you absolutely hate – just ignore him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't let him get under your skin. And, take your time and have a plan.
Right. It's hard to concentrate for that long as well, so you have to get in and get out. I know on the tennis court, I'll either talk to people on the sidelines, my partner, or whatever, because you need that break. You can't be totally focused all the way through for 2 hours. There's no way. So you have to be able to let loose and then step away from the table, step away from the court, get that little break.
And I like the other pieces. You know, we talk about when you're playing to be a successful player, you want to plan a couple shots ahead.
Yeah.
Poker's the same way, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just – you're not just playing right now it's my turn. What is it? Is it check bet, call, raise? Like, what am I going to do in this particular situation? But thinking about what's going to happen if I implement this, what's going to happen with the next player, in this round, and also B, beyond the round. So if I implement this and on the flop, I need to be prepared for what my next move is going to be on the turn and then again on the river. So taking those same skills and applying them at the poker table is what's going to make
you
successful.
Well, just using it for four hands down the line – to the same thing for the same person what they did last time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Crazy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we got more poker strategy to talk about. We got to get Reggie to his seat, get him into the tournament, make sure he's winning all those chips. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL at 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest, Reggie Exum. All right, so we've been talking about poker. We've been talking about tennis. We've been talking about all sorts of sports and how they compare to poker and what's going to happen for Reggie and how he's going to use that information to get himself, position himself at the final table with me and
and take your bounty.
And try to take my bounty. Yeah. It's never happening, sir. but we're going to keep you around. We're going to keep talking about some poker stuff here. And we got Eric on the phone. Eric has tweeted a hand at us.
We got Eric on the phone? Oh, yeah, good, because I can't read this.
Yeah, he tweeted a hand at us. And as I'm trying to look at it, I cannot decipher what's going on. So, hey, Eric, welcome to the program. Tell us what's happening.
Hey, how's it going? How y'all doing?
Doing real good. Well, thank you.
Hey, man.
Okay, so what you can't see any of the action. So the yellow is me, and the white is the other player. So pre-flop, I'm under the gun plus one, and I'm middle position. The middle position okay. Also limps. The guy in front of me, who's pretty aggro at 32%, over 45 hands. So small sample size. And anyways, I just do my standard open to 2x. In a tournament. It's a satellite. And it folds around to ever went back to him, and of course he's going to call because he already limped. So, like, I know his range is going to, be pretty wide there. I think he had a pre-flop raise percentage of 10% across 46 hands.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't raising anything, but he was playing a lot of hands. So the flop, I have Jack 9 of spades, and that's what I chose to open with from middle position. With my image, I think I was playing about 20% of hands at this point. And so the flop comes 10-10-6 with two spades.
Mm-hmm.
Middle position limper, who called my raise, check. So I've got a flush draw here, and I have one over to the board, and I have some backdoor straights. Sometimes I check this, sometimes I bet it. It just depends against the opponent. Against his range, I think I'm supposed to be betting a lot more than I did, and I just chose to check on this one just to kind of realize some of my equity that I had.
Sure.
And so the turn is a jack of clubs, which gives me a two pair, jacks and tens with a nine kicker, and he leads into me for 1,000, which at this point is like 60% pot. So he leads for 60% pot. Again, this is a spot where I could bluff raise, or I could value raise, targeting some, pocket nine, pocket eight, pocket seven. I don't think he has any worse jacks here. I think he has some tens. But with the flush draw equity, I elect to just call and, again, try to keep the pot small. I realize some of the equity on the river. And then the river is a blank. It's a deuce of hearts, complete blank here, and he leads for full pot. So that's where I would want to stop the action and kind of see what do you think is the best move at this point.
And you're saying this
raise the turn mostly.
I don't think you should raise the turn because you're not going to get called by anything. You're not really going to get value out of anything if you raise the turn.
You're only going to get called by somebody who can beat you. Yeah.
You know the eights and nines are folding a worse jack if it's possible, sort of not really possible because you're probably splitting a lot of times, but.
And now you have some showdown value.
Yeah.
Right, and now you have showdown value.
Exactly.
I like the call on the turn.
I like the call on the turn also.
The check on the flop, I think you're right. I think it's about 50-50. I tend to lean towards betting just because I almost always bet a flop if I have any kind of potential at all. So I'm generally going
to
bet there.
Especially if you raise. Like, that's not a bad flop to continue on. I mean, it's
I think if you bet this flop, you're going to get a lot of resistance against the limper's range. Mm-hmm. But I also think you're going to get a lot of players to fold out a lot of hands that actually beat you, like fours, fives, sixes.
Agreed. Yeah.
Well, not sixes, obviously. Yeah. But you're going to get fours and fives to fold. You'll probably get called by. You're going to get called by the 7-8. You're going to get called by pocket nines. You're going to get called by any hand with a blocker. You're going to get called by. You're going to get a lot of resistance on this board, but I think it's fine. I think it's fine to bet this board small because you're going to fold out a lot of hands that are actually beating you on the flop. But and you still have a lot of equity that you can realize.
Yeah, so you have a lot of equity.
But if you get to the turn, when the guy bets the turn, I just call.
Yeah, you can just call.
Yeah. So one of the things that went into my decision on the flop was it is a satellite, so all we got to do is make top four on this tournament. And I think we had like 11 or 12 left. And me and him were both pretty deep stacked compared to the rest of the field. I think we were both like maybe fourth and fifth in chips, and he had me covered. So that kind of went into my thought process of also checking on the flop 50% of the time. You know, try to keep the pot small and just realize some of that equity.
Yeah, I think in a satellite, I even lean more towards betting because he's going to lean more towards folding.
I agree with that.
Than in a tournament. So I would bet even more often in the satellite. But I probably pay it off on the river because, I don't know, I guess it's about 50-50 whether you pay it off on the river or not with the Jack 9 there.
My question for the river bet is what is the river pot bet compared to your stack size? You know, if he's betting 5 big blinds and you have 15 big blinds, you know,
it's
pot.
Like 30% of my stack.
It's like 30% of your stack to call off there?
Yeah.
I call.
With 12 left, it's really close.
Yeah.
I mean, you beat all the missed spades, right? All the missed spades and all the.
But I have spades.
He has two spades, yeah.
Right,
but you don't have nuts. You unblock the nut spades if he's in there with like a hand like ace deuce.
Mm-hmm. Right. He could have ace deuce, ace trays, four, ace five spades.
You
seven,
unblock
ace
a lot
eight.
Of his strongest spades.
All the ace X of spades and the. I don't know.
Yeah.
The king queens,
it was an interesting
all the king queens.
On the river.
I mean, I feel like I'm probably going to call because, again, I think that, in terms of looking at, like Dustin said, you're going to get a lot of resistance on the turn. On the flop by betting. And then the turn, I like the action on the turn. But the river, like, the river card doesn't change anything. So I feel like if you think that you're ahead at every point in the hand, I don't know why you would fold when the deuce of hearts comes on the end.
I mean, there's
I guess
a,
that's
there's
my
a,
biggest thing.
Strong,
is like, where did your shift, where it, did your mindset it, change and shift where you feel like when that blank card, I mean,
right,
that's literally,
that's a good point.
It's that card changed absolutely nothing. So if you continued all the way to the hand to the turn, why would anything change at the river at this point? Like, where did the shift in your thought process go?
Also, his most likely 10X holdings are Jack 10 and 9 10, mm-hmm. and maybe Queen and King 10. And you block Jack 10, and you also block 9 10.
Right.
Right.
So his strongest 10X that makes sense as limps, you block.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Which are Jack 10 and 9 10. And you have a Jack and a 9 in your hand, which makes it way less likely he has Jack 10, 9 10. Every once in a while, he's just going to show you Queen 10. You know, every once in a while, he's going to show you 8 10 for a suited gapper, but. You block his most likely 10X holdings that also make sense as limps.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he could limp with pocket sixes there. And
that's true.
And he could have flopped.
That's fair. We didn't give him sixes.
You know, there's lots of ways he can have you beat, but still leaving myself with that amount of chips, I'd probably make the call.
I make it, too. What do you think, Reggie? What are you doing?
I agree with Jesse, absolutely.
You calling?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
All right, I like it. I think it's a good idea. Well, Eric, it's a good hand. Are you
What happened, Eric? What happened?
Where are you?
Did you fold or call?
I called. Yeah, he had ace 10.
He had ace 10?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what a
like
weird limp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really strange limp, for sure.
What a strange limp. Yeah, like I said, every once in a while, they're just going to show you 10X. But, you know, like I said, you block his most likely 10X limping hands. I think it's a fine call.
But it's the same it's the same thing. If you were to raise on the turn, it's going to cost you the same amount because then you're going to have to fold for his shove.
On the river.
But,
yep.
But you didn't have the ability to win that money by calling the flop and then calling again on the river.
Correct.
And you also unblock his best bluffs.
Yeah.
Mm. I like it.
It's the way it goes.
Exactly.
I like it. Well, Eric, tell me you're on your way here or you're in the card room now chatting with us.
Where are you?
Yeah, where are you? 1010XL main event underway. Come on, get yourself down here, son.
I'm on a road trip right now to New Jersey, so I won't be back until Thanksgiving.
Yuck.
All right. Well, we look forward to
seeing you
for the next one. Safe travels to you, and we will see you soon. So, as mentioned, again, we are out here at Best Bet Jacksonville. Boss man, help me. What is this What, how many numbers? How many players?
239.
239
and climbing fast. Still a little bit of a line.
239 and counting. There's still a bit of a line at the cage. Again, we need to get over 425 players. Our final show will be next week, where we are planning to give away three seats, a seat into each of the tournaments for the knockout series, which
That's right.
November 12th through the 14th. So a seat into the $300 event, the $600 event, and the $2,000 event. We need 425 players to beat our record of 376 here tonight. Again, registration is open until about 10 minutes past 8. We're going to take our final break, but when we come back, we'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest, Reggie Exum, which joins us tonight. The 1010XL main event is underway. It kicked off at about 6 o'clock p.m. We got just over 250 players, it looks like. Registration is open until about 8:10, so you have plenty of time
Come
to get down,
down
here, 201 Monument Road. $110 will get you into this tournament. There are five bounties. Knock any of those bounties out, and you get $110 back on the spot. So it looks like we got Jeff Prosser, we got Denny Thompson, we got Matt Hayes, we have Josh Scobie, and yours truly, McDeal. Knock any of us out, and you get your $110 back. Lots and lots of stuff going on. A huge high hand weekend Friday over in Orange Park. $10,000 being given away on Friday to high hand winners throughout the entire day. And remember, that is at Orange Park only. Also, the Fall Frenzy is this Saturday. It's a $1,500 event, single day event. It'll be here in Jacksonville. $1,500 starts at noon. You'll play down to the final table. If you make the final table, you will take a quick break and come back the following day. Play will resume at 4 o'clock p.m., and they will live stream the final table of that event. Also, don't forget, as we've mentioned several times, there will be the knockout series in November, which is happening the 12th through the 14th. Three tournaments, a $300 tournament, $600 tournament, and a $2,000 tournament.
All
happening.
All
bounty
tournaments.
Yeah.
All bounty tournaments.
All bounty tournaments, all happening in November. And in fact, we're going to give a seat away to each and every one of those tournaments next week on our final show. So as we wind down and say goodbye to the program that's been running for over 13 years, we're going to give away $2,900 in that single hour.
In between sobs.
Yeah, in between. It's going to be tons of stuff.
In between sobs and tears.
In between sobs and tears. We're going to talk about, we're going to reminisce. We're going to talk about some of our show favorite moments.
Yeah.
Some of our favorite guests.
Yeah.
We're going to try to have, Johnny and Alan on also,
We're
right?
going to try to get the entire crew
if
back
you're listening,
together.
Alan.
So it, I think it's going to be a great
F&A.
Show. It'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, we'll be saying goodbye to you all, but we will still be here in spirit. And I promise if you just come down to either card room, whether you're in Jacksonville or Orange Park, you will run into any or all of us at any given time. You can get all other information pertaining to the card room and everything that you're looking for at bestbetjacks.com. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. In the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest, Reggie Exum, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.